Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hi, I'm Zoe Close, Area Sales Manager for Practice Plan, and today's edition of Bodcast, we've got Andy McDougall with me. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm very well indeed, thank you.
Good, good. Want to pick your brains, so just tell me a little bit about yourself, Andy, and a bit of your background.
Yeah, sure. I started off my career as a what we call a management accountant, as opposed to a financial accountant. So to get through the jargon, somebody who's looking to the future and helping businesses to make the right decisions, as opposed to reporting on what's happened in the past. Career-wise, that then led to me being a finance director a number of times and a managing director a couple of times. The common thing in all those roles was all about planning a different future for those businesses. And 8 years ago, started in the dental industry, bringing those techniques to an industry that I don't think has actually been touched by them so far. So that's pretty much the birth of Spot On Business Planning. And on the back of that, we have a thriving business deploying those techniques in dental practices.
Thank you. I mean, there's lots of coaches out there and sort of, you know, a support for dentists in practice. So what would you say your techniques, you know, how unique are they? How do they differ?
They're very different because I think there are coaches who tend to approach the situation mainly from things like teamwork or brand or marketing. Clearly, at the heart of what we do is numerical analysis, and you know, we have to build intricate financial models to pretty much effectively work out how not to do it, because it's almost like saying if you'd have done that, you'd have made this mistake. So don't make the mistakes on paper, right? And therefore, that leads you to the right way to do it. And then because of that, there is an order and sequence to what we do. So it's a bit like building a house that you could say, well, I've got a roof and I've got walls. But if you try and put the roof on before the walls, you get a completely different end product. Yeah. So there is a specific order and sequence to what we do. And each of those models that we build for our clients, we liken it to corporate fingerprints. So although they are generic principles, they are actually deployed very specifically to each business. So the model that you've used in practice A would not at all be applicable to practice B. So I think in essence the big difference is to us everything starts and ends with the numbers, whereas I think other people approach it from either the HR or the brand, etc.
Okay, thank you. So obviously you've claimed, one of your claims is to net profit, to double that for clients. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. It does, and I think when people hear that they go, yeah of course you do. But we've got 50-60 clients who've done that. And one of the biggest problems I think that happens in dental practices, one of the biggest areas of concern that our clients would say is, I'm spending a lot of money on marketing to try and grow the sales. But unfortunately, because the ratios of things like labs, materials, associate pay, etc., are wrong, and they've been wrong for years, and as time goes on, they get further and further out of kilter. What happens is businesses get bigger as a result of that marketing spend, but very little, if any, finds its way to net profit. Mm. So the owner is actually the person who doesn't benefit. Well, clearly, keep doing the same thing is going to keep getting you the same result.
Exactly.
So the way we do that is we would use the techniques of firstly looking at which treatments are unprofitable. And we have a model that builds treatments, every single treatment that you would have in a dental practice. And we can use the ratios between fixed, variable and income to actually break each treatment down to get to a net profit per treatment. Okay. Similarly, without getting too technical, we can do the same thing with every fee earner, every clinician in the business, to work out which clinicians are unprofitable. So our approach is to say, if we fix the treatments that are unprofitable, and if we fix the clinicians that are unprofitable, you're well on your way to doubling your net profit. And at that point, when you've fixed all the ratios, that's when more marketing spend then becomes good spend, because the sales, a lot of the sales figure then finds its way to net profit. So yes, a tall order. We do it in 95% of our clients. You might say, well, what happens to the 5% where it doesn't, you know, where it doesn't happen? Is there any correlation between those five? And yes, there is. And although we call it business planning, it's actually decision-making accounting. So we build models that enable us to make the right decision. Where it tends to go wrong is we can pinpoint the decision that needs to be made, but there are, in some instances, a principal who, when it comes to actually following through with some action to make that decision become implemented, they say, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And of course, if you don't make the change, the result doesn't change. But for the 95%, then yes, with the techniques that I've just described, you can very easily double your profit over a three-year period. We have some clients who've done it in a year, and you go, wow, how do you do that? Well, of course, it all depends from the position that you're starting from.
Yeah.
So if you were starting from a 40 grand net profit,
the problem is.
But if you're starting with a profit of 200 or 300, then, you know, to double that over 3 years is what we try and do. But yeah, 95% of the time, if people go along with the decisions and then follow through with action, yeah, it'll double your profit every 3 years.
Yeah. So typical client problems that you get them to overcome, how do you go about doing that?
We have a four-stage, a very structured process that takes four stages. So it's the same techniques that we use. It's a standard methodology. The types of things we get is, my business is going backwards and I don't know how to buck the trend. We have businesses who have plateaued and they don't know how to get to the next level of profitability.
Yeah.
We have people who are startups, and they actually, you know, the whole point about a startup is you go up a J curve. Invariably, the day you open the doors, there's costs, you know, there's more costs going out than income coming in. The trick is to make the J as small as possible so you get them into profit. You've got clients who are 3 years away from exit and want to exit that business on maximum value. So you're using the same techniques in lots of different ways. The four-stage structured process really is stage one, where is the business now? To do that, we would do a brand analysis, we'd do mystery shopping, we'd do competitor analysis, we'd look at whether you've actually got a strategy that underpins your vision. We'd look at the profitability of the clinicians, we'd look at the profitability of the treatments. So there's a whole lot of analysis, not just financial analysis going on. And then that basically says, yeah, here's a snapshot of where the business is now. That's the easy bit, that's just analysis. And then most clients say, well, surely the next bit, which is obviously stage one, where are we now? Stage two, where do you want to go to? Well, yeah, I can see that the hard bit is figuring out where you're going to take the business to. And in actual fact, that's just as easy, because that's just financial modelling that says if you do this, that will be the result. And the hard bit is stage three, which comes back to taking action.
Yeah.
Because the only way you're going to make that stage two become real is to make changes in the business. And that's where some people say, I'm not comfortable making those changes.
Mm.
That stage four, you know, how do we know that those changes have worked? Is we put the monthly measurement systems in place, management accounts, KPIs, that are bespoke to that business. Not everybody's got the same KPIs. And then we report on that monthly.
Mm-hmm.
We can even produce a report that tells you profit by clinician by month. So the idea is when it's going wrong, or where it's not going the way you want it to go, the next question is why? So we need the analysis at the lower level to say it's because of this clinician or this treatment or your marketing's not working, etc. So essentially, although we call it business planning, it's how to run your business more effectively.
Yeah.
And if you stick to the script, I mean, the analogy that I would use is it's like a sat-nav.
Yeah.
So you turn the sat-nav on, and the first thing it does, it says, where are you now? So stage one of the business planning process, where are you now? Stage two, where do you want to go? The sat-nav says, put in your destination. Then the sat-nav starts to do its magic and go, do you want to go the fastest route? Do you want to go the scenic route? Do you want to stop over? So we call those scenarios. In other words, there are different ways to get from A to B. And when we choose one of those scenarios, the chosen scenario becomes known as your strategy. Then we have to implement that strategy and we have to measure. So in exactly the same way that when you take a journey in a car, the sat-nav says, if you carry on down this route, you're going to deviate from the chosen path and you won't arrive at your destination. Business planning is exactly the same. You're constantly measuring, and as soon as you realise that you're going off track, you take corrective action. So, in essence, it's quite a simple process,
People go with you on that journey.
Absolutely.
Stop, you know, don't put sort of barriers in the way.
Things like, you know, people would say, well, I don't want to lose my associates if you change the pay.
Yeah.
And you say, well, you're not going to lose your associates, because if you take somebody down from 40% to 35 or 45 to 40, there's no two ways of looking at that other than it's a pay cut. So then either your associate leaves, which is what you don't want, cause disruption in the business, or you end up with somebody who's disgruntled. The problem with not having the analysis is that when you talk to an associate without the information, it's an emotional exchange.
Yeah.
But when you've got facts, it becomes, the facts are at the centre of the discussion. So our approach is to try and get a win-win, and that win-win would be to structure remuneration in such a way that you actually end up motivating the associate, and the potential for them to earn more is there, but you've structured the deal in a way that works for both parties. So I don't think people put obstacles in the way. I just think there are certain very difficult parts of the process that need to be overcome.
But you can help them with those,
absolutely,
know, those difficult
conversations. And our job is to hold the hand through that process, because some people feel uncomfortable if you say, well, here's your report, you get on with it.
I
think the comfort blanket is that you're going to be there with them at each stage of the process. Because at the end of the day, if we don't implement, then we don't achieve this, we'll double your profit every 3 years. So implementation is the key.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for today, Andy.
Okay.
Speak to you again soon.
Thank you very much.